Talk Shoe.
Recorded live.
The following program is brought to you by your friends at TheForce.net.
Oh, Maxie bit the Force.
And RebelScum.com.
You Rebel Scum.
The galaxy is listening.
Who need that? No. Alawa. Who need
Welcome to the Forcecast, your weekly dose of Star Wars news and much more.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe. I suggest we use it.
All systems have been alerted to your presence, sir.
Check it out, Corporal.
Roger, roger.
Now, your hosts of the Forcecast, Jason and Pete.
We would be honored if you would join us.
You know, you would think with three computers sitting here that I wouldn't have to use pen and paper.
You'll never give up pen and paper, my friend.
I know. I'm writing furiously writing notes to myself, like, you know, don't forget the date. Because it always screws us up, because, you know, this is the Forcecast for November 30th, 2007, but it's not actually November 30th right now, so.
The magic of technology.
It still screws me up. Anyway, greetings and welcome to the official podcast of TheForce.net and RebelScum.com. Proud to be so and happy to be with you once again. We've had a chance to digest all of our turkey, and I just don't mean the news coming out of Lucasfilm.
Hi-yo!
No, we've got some good news to report.
Yeah. Interesting news, anyway.
Well, good rumors.
Rumors. Juicy rumors.
It would
rumors.
Be good news once it gets
confirmed. Scrumptious rumors, maybe.
Once they get confirmed, then we can say, you know, it's officially good news.
Yes.
But anyway, my name is Jason, and with me, even though I didn't say it the last time, as always, my best buddy, Pete.
Hi, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving. Belated.
Or yeah. I was
post-Thanksgiving.
We had like an on-again, off-again string here.
Yeah.
On one week.
It's like a lot of my relationships.
Up until recently,
Up until recently.
Of course. But want to thank, once again, the last time that folks joined us, we had Steve Sansweet and Pete Vollmer on, and they were just as cool could be. A lot of fun. And we've got a little update coming up from that show. So if you haven't, if you listen to that show and you're wondering about the officiality of the 1138 reference in Return of the Jedi being on Boosh's helmet, we've got the answer coming up right from the Lucasfilm archives.
There you go.
So, of course, it's all spoiled if you go to TheForce.net.
Yeah. That was a week ago, but hey, what are you going to do?
But anyway, well, actually, I went out of town. I went to Nashville, my adopted hometown, for Thanksgiving. You stuck around here, right?
I did. I had to, you know, for the first time in quite some time, I pulled the two family thing. So,
oh yeah, how'd that go?
Actually, it was perfect. You know, we ate early and late, so
okay.
I could get two full huge meals in. I was very gluttonous.
Did you eat a lot?
Oh yeah.
I finally realized something about myself. I don't like turkey. I really don't. It's dry. I'm a chicken guy. I like my meat greasy. I like it. I like it gristly. I'm not into turkey, but I did have a flashback because I was in Nashville, which and I remembered 1 year ago from then, we were doing like, I don't know, our fourth or fifth show,
yeah.
And
yeah.
I was in Nashville and we were, you know, Skyping. You
right.
Know, Skyping.
Yeah, I remember.
Do you remember
that,
what a
yeah.
nightmare that was?
Oh, I do.
We had
indeed.
To record like the first half of it like three times. Literally, I mean, record.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just. Yeah. Unbelievable what we went through back in those early days.
And back in the dog times.
Yes, before podcastation.
Before talk show. It's going to be one of those shows, folks. Wrap yourself in.
You know who is off to a great start.
Who's that?
Ed Dolista.
He is off to quite a great start.
The host of IndieCast. I hope you're enjoying IndieCast. I know I am.
I am.
It's a pleasure to listen to a podcast that I had nothing to do with. It's
yes.
so much fun, isn't it?
But it is. And then you realize right off the bat, wow, this is a lot of work for him.
It is. And I'm just amazed that he is as good as he is now, only two episodes in.
Well, you know, he's got that acting background.
That's true.
You know,
that's true.
He's not new on the block like
right.
myself.
Well, I mean, like
new
like,
to entertainment media, like I am,
but
or was
IndieCast is great. I mean, I encourage you, don't skip it. I know it's coming down the Forcecast feed, and you're like IndieCast, but we promised that we would continue the indie news, and if there's something huge that breaks, Pete and I will talk about it. But it, you know, it, that's a way to get your indie fix. And I don't know if you know if Ed's committed to a weekly show at this point. I think it's just whenever there's enough news. Lord knows, as we get closer to May, there's going to be plenty of stuff to talk about. So make sure you're checking it out. Also, Jimmy had a microcast that dropped last week.
Mm-hmm.
His report from the Chicago toy, what was it?
Extravaganza. Again?
Why can't I ever remember the name of that show?
It's not that hard. It's Chicago
Big Show
toy
in Chicago.
Fair.
Yeah. Chicago Toy Fair. Yeah. Yeah, that's. I guess it's not that complicated, is it?
I actually just made that up. I'm not sure if that's right either.
But I guess Jimmy had people coming up to him and recognizing him from the show, and so that's great. Of course, he's an old radio pro, so I mean he's used to that kind of adoration.
Yeah, he knows it.
But to get it, you know, from the Forcecast fans, I think is something cool.
Yeah.
So hey, before we get any further, I want to thank our official sponsors, Official Picks. Go to officialpicks.com for official Star Wars autographs and photographs. And Pete, you had a few words you
wanted
to say?
Well, I had to say that I checked out, you know, they have the photographs, the 8x10s, and they had the special on them a couple weeks ago. And definitely go over and check out the newsletter. Sign up for the newsletter because you'll get some nice bonuses if you're on that newsletter. But check out those photographs, because if you're looking for something that, you know, if you've got that Star Wars fan, and I know we all do, that has everything, or you think they have everything, check on out those photographs, because there's a lot of production photos, a lot of publicity stills, and a lot of things that I personally had never seen before.
I don't know if we talked about it on the show, but do you remember when we were at C4 and we were back there, or you know, back with the Official Picks folks? Great group of people, by the way. And Hasbro was interested in some of the shots that they had
for reference.
Yeah, reference photos of some of the Jabba's palace creatures that were not, you know, at least they didn't have access to the photographs.
Yeah,
and so yeah, I mean, there's, you never really know what you're
cool
going to find.
I mean, there was some great Mark Hamill ones that I had never seen before. So check it out. It could be a nice surprise gift for anybody that you're still looking for.
No doubt. I also wanted to welcome any Zune users, any of you who have some way found a way to get the Forcecast via the Zune marketplace. It hasn't officially been added, but like iTunes, I think there's a way that you can submit the feed manually and still download the show. It's not showing up in the Zune marketplace yet. We've gone in there and added it. But, you know, like iTunes, there's literally somebody on the staff there at the Zune Marketplace that has to listen to one of our shows and find out that it's, you know, appropriate, or, you know, that it's legitimate or whatever. So hopefully that'll happen. And a few emails from, you know, some listeners to the folks at the Zune Marketplace saying, hey, get the Forcecast on there would help. So, but this is going to be great. I think we're going to see an expansion of our audience, which is growing by leaps and bounds, you know, every week. But welcoming those Zune folks in there. So you Mac heads out there and you iPod and iPhoners, don't be hating on the Zune folks, because that's a legitimate market, people coming into the Forcecast family, and I'm excited about it.
You sounded
paid
like
for by Microsoft.
All right, now anyway. Now Bill Gates can leave the room and take his gun with him.
Hey, how about the Kentucky, I won't say Kansas, the Kentucky Star Wars Collectors Club, they have a big raffle. Now, this is pretty cool. If I told you, Pete, that you could get the limited edition studio scale Millennium Falcon for $10, what would you say?
I would say you're lying.
I would say I'm not lying. I'm exaggerating. Slight exaggeration, but you can, for $10, a $10 donation to the Kentucky Star Wars Collectors Club's charity of choice, which is COSAIR. I think I'm pronouncing that right. Which actually does a lot of good for it's a children's hospital. They do a lot of good for terminally ill children, or children with, you know, particularly from households that don't have a lot of income, and you know, that kind of thing. They do
they do
a lot of free services, free treatment for sick kids, and I mean, that's awesome. Can't beat that.
No.
So anyway, but you know, to encourage these donations, they're doing this raffle. $10 will get you a raffle ticket, and I mean, the prizes are, you could get the 1-to-1 scale Darth Vader helmet from Master Replica, the limited edition version, and a limited edition studio scale Millennium Falcon.
Unbelievable!
So, best $10 you could possibly spend.
Yeah.
So we want to thank Michael Hyken. He's the PR officer of the Kentucky Star Wars Collectors Club. So go to kswcc.com and click on the contest banner and figure out, you know, I mean, how, it's the holiday season. You could win these things and give money to charity. I mean, all in one boot. So pretty cool.
Tis the season.
Yeah. And how about buying some of those raffle tickets for your, you know, the Star Wars fan in your life?
There you go.
My wife could jump on there and buy a couple of raffle tickets for me for Christmas. Put those in my stocking. How nice. So what about, you know, right before the show started, the Republican debate, the CNN YouTube debate was starting. I said, Pete, I got to go TiVo it.
Yes.
And I think your comment was, oh, you're the guy that cares about that? But apparently the folks in Australia care even less about their election. The story is that the Empire, and we should ask our buddy Ed Dalista about this, but the Empire Strikes Back managed to pull in better ratings than Australia's Channel 9's election coverage. And it kind of befuddled some folks. We got a clip here about that.
Australia now needs new leadership for the future.
Ready, are you? What knows you ready?
He could destroy us.
I don't think Mr. Rudd can.
We want to invest in an education revolution.
You are reckless.
That's just what our elections need, is a little Star Wars
That's
influence.
Right. Get people back and interested anyway.
Oh, but that's funny. I mean, you talk about a 25, 26, 7-year-old film getting better ratings. A film that probably most households
yeah,
have
we've
on
already
video
all
or
seen.
DVD
yeah,
or at least
exactly.
seen it. Getting better ratings than the election coverage. You got to love it. Yoda for president, right?
That's right.
Literally the puppet. I mean, I yeah. really at this point. how about the Jedi Journal's newsstand? We introduced you to many folks probably met Pete Vollmer for the first time on our show a couple weeks ago. But he has an article in the latest issue of Art Scene International magazine about the tribute, kind of the, well, it was Revenge of the Sith style D circus poster by Matt Bush.
Mm-hmm.
A tribute to the circus posters, the vintage circus poster, and also an interview with cover artist Stephen Yule. There's a preview in the Jedi Journals there at rebelscum.com, managed by our own Jovial J. Shepard, the professor, as we call him. And Pete, I know you've interviewed Matt Bush before,
mm-hmm.
and part of that great fraternity of, well, I shouldn't just say fraternity, but fraternity and sorority of Star Wars artists.
Yeah, it's a great community of people and people who are really fans but also are getting the chance to actually contribute to the Star Wars and actually make a living, which is incredible. So the article looks incredible. I'm very anxious to see it, and hopefully
looks like a very cool magazine.
Yeah,
actually.
It's very very high end.
Yes it is. Yes, for the awesome
what would you
crowd.
Expect from an art magazine,
right? So anyway, article there written by our good friend Steve, Pete Vollmer. Steve. I was thinking Steve Sansweet, Pete Vollmer.
Yeah.
So speaking of Steve and Pete, if you listened to the interview, and I hope you did, we had a great time with them. They were really cool, and it was great to hear them talk so candidly and great guys. But the question had come up. Well, we got a clip. So this is a Forcecast rewind right here.
Recently, I was online, and there was the 12-inch re-election hero Bush figurine, and on the side of her helmet, on the right-hand side, it has 1138. Is that the reference that George Lucas put in the movie?
That's an excellent question, and you stumped me. because, yeah, we've been told, and we've really looked into it, you know, that there was an 1138 reference and have not been able to really discover one way or another. So now Pete's going to go over to the archives and look at that. Exactly.
Well, I mean,
so that's a wonderful question, and I don't know the final answer.
I got a carpool buddy who works in licensing, so I'm going to ask him that on the way home tonight.
Well, you know, and we didn't know for sure whether Pete was serious or for real about this, but he was, and he does have a carpool buddy who works in Lucas Licensing, Chris Batali. He oversaw both Sideshow and Gentle Giants, Princess Leia in Bush disguise projects, and he passed along some exclusive photos to us of the actual prop used in the film. And yes, indeed, 1138 is on the right rear side of the Bush helmet. So, case closed.
There it is.
X-File closed. Thank you so much to Chris Patali and Pete Vilmer. I mean, it was cool enough just to get like a photo of the actual prop.
Yeah.
You know, that I'm sure they have it in their archives, but it kind of neat that we helped to sort of solve the big mystery. And I know it had been speculated for years as to what it was, but it's nice to have it official. So who knows? I mean, we kind of encouraged, Steve Sansweet of all people to look into this. Big thanks to Pete Vilmer. Great guy for doing that and following up with us on our humble podcast here. You can check out those photos there at rebelscum.com. It was on theforce.net, but Pete says the story is no longer appearing. So
disappeared.
Go to rebelscum.com.
Maybe it's still there. I don't know.
Before it gets torn down. Who knows?
That's right.
Maybe we weren't supposed to have it at all. But, hey, you know, the Jawas, I don't know if they're here. Are they here?
Yes, they're here.
They're here. Ah, Talas Jawa is here. So the Jawas have been doing these... for a long time now, they've been doing these videos on YouTube where they take a portion of our show and they animate it. And they've just been getting better and better and better.
Mm-hmm.
But lately, I mean, they're committed to do one for every episode. And even the intro of the video, you know, they've got the graphic of the Forcecast and the date of the episode. It's really, really cool. And they did one for the Steve Sansweet and Pete Vilmer interview from a couple weeks ago. And it's... one of the funniest ones.
It was hilarious.
Absolutely,
I was laughing
awesome.
Out loud at work.
And so again, the Jawas know we sent that along to Steve Sansweet and Pete Vilmer. And you know what? I wanted to read the email exactly, but I don't have it. I'll pass it on to the Jawas. But because I didn't actually say to Steve and Pete, I'm going to read this email on the air. So,
well.
But they were both very pleased with it and thought it was very, very funny. And really happy with it, so I'm sure it got passed around to the folks that they work with. So hopefully that'll make the Jawas happy that their talents don't go to total waste.
No,
but check out these videos. They've recently been embedded on the Force.net.
Yeah, if you haven't been checking them out, you certainly owe it to yourself to do it because it's very fun. And usually it's the best clips of our show. Just kind of a 5-minute clip of the best of, so.
Which is about all they can find,
right.
I think.
like we're stretching this week.
Right. So anyway, yeah, definitely check those out. Hey, how about some birthdays? Michael Ballin played an Ewok in Return of the Jedi. He turned 49 this past Monday. Treat Williams, who was an uncredited extra in Empire Strikes Back, he will turn 56 on Saturday. Tomorrow, as the show goes up live on the Force.net. Also, Jess Olishane, who is an Echo Base trooper, and Gerald Blendon, who is a Cloud City trooper. Both of those, maybe they're all Saturday. I don't know. It's hard to read this. But anyway, they're celebrating birthdays very, very soon. Or it could be as soon as today or yesterday. But
this could be completely made up.
Or it could be completely.
Treat
Williams, really?
Right, exactly.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that he was an uncredited extra. I mean, I knew that Cliff Clavin was, but he wasn't uncredited.
Yeah,
them wampas there, Nami. Anyway, how about some Forcecast listener birthdays, Pete?
Oh, all right. Well, we have Mike Star Mode 6 from November 27th, and JJ's son George turned 3.
Yeah, I wonder where he came up with that name.
And we're George. Very happy to have both of them with us. And then also a very special, and I have to get down to it here, Grant and Danielle. November 13th is Danielle's birthday.
Oh, okay.
And Grant proposed to her.
Oh, how cool. Well, happy birthday.
And he sent us a great shot of how he gave her the ring. And
I saw that. Right,
yes.
right. And the Vader action figure.
Right, the Vader action figure. And that very
kind of
cool.
Like in the meditation chamber, yes. Almost like.
So congratulations to Grant and Danielle, and happy birthday, Danielle.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Welcome to the family, Danielle. I don't know if she was beforehand, but you're in it now.
You know, I just play this music now so that Kyle Newman knows when to fast forward his iPod.
You're a good egg for doing that.
Pete, tell us what we got going on. I know that we're happy here in Northeast Ohio with the way our real football team is playing.
Yes, and I have to say that I'll tell you later, but I'm doing a big taboo this week. And I'll tell you about that later. But anyway, it is heating up again, once again, in the Forcecast Fantasy Football League. We are at 12 weeks and counting, and the playoff positioning is become quite fierce. Darth Fagan's NES Tecmo Super Bowlers are they're a win away from being in the playoffs guaranteed, and everybody else
come up with a Star Warsy name.
Well,
for that, Darth Fagan.
He already has Darth Fagan, so I
mean, that's true. That's true.
So, we're looking at the rest of the league is fighting for the final few playoff spots. The Shenanigans are still alive, although barely breathing. They are on life support at the moment, and it'll take a couple of good
wins.
Kitster's
brother? That's the one I've...
Kitster's brother is now the league doormat.
Going Who does he have on his team?
I think I'm on there. You might be on there. I'm pretty sure both his children are on there. He is taking the league by storm with his 2-10 record.
Oh, Jim. That's terrible.
So this week is Choking Imperial Commander Day at all stadiums across the league. So, if you're out there, you can win a chance to choke your very favorite or least favorite Imperial Commander. So make sure you're tuning in and getting your special pass to go through in that. And the matchup of the week this week, as chosen by Chris Berman and Mick Shelley, is Spaceball 1 versus myself. Mm. Now, I told you about the taboo. The taboo that I'm doing is I am playing a player that is going against my favorite team. So I'm playing the quarterback of the Cardinals, who are playing the Browns.
Oh,
so okay. I'm rooting for him, but rooting against the team and for my own team. That's a huge taboo in fantasy world.
How do you cut yourself up into so many different?
I just ignore it and cross my fingers and hope somebody does something. So, anyway, that I need a win to hang on and stay in contention. The Spaceball 1, they've got a tough record.
Yeah.
They're a game better than Kitster's brother at 3-9, but we know that at any time they could go to ludicrous speed and take us all by storm. So,
well,
that's your Fantasy League Football update of the week. We are coming up on the championships, and soon a champion will be crowned.
Well, and I heard about the trophy. It sounds like it's going to be great, so make sure you check it out. Hopefully pictures on RebelScum.com. All right. So there you go. Kyle, are you with us now?
Yeah. And we'll give them a second to come back.
Right. No, I love the fantasy football update. I'll tell you what, man, I'm actually becoming a bit of a fan. It's kind of fun to watch a winning team for once.
It is. That makes a world of difference.
It does. It really does. One thing that would be better, even better than that, is how about lunch with Mark Hamill? Now, folks, he owes me for dissing us at Celebration 4. You know how I feel about that. But if you go over to charityplace.com, you can place your bid for an auction to join Mark Hamill for lunch in Los Angeles, unless he has something better to do. No, I'm joking. No, seriously, the auction is to benefit artists for a new South Africa. And right now, as this podcast is recorded live on TalkShoe, we've got $1,300 so far. So if you've got an extra, a few $100 or a couple $1,000 and you want to have lunch with Mark Hamill, you might want to check that out. We'll have the link on our show notes. So nice to know that there is a way to meet Mark Hamill,
mm-hmm.
other than a Star Wars convention. But anyway,
just
how
won't let that go.
I'm sorry, I can't. I tell you what'll make me feel better, though.
What's that? Is that like a knock-knock joke where you wait for me to respond?
Oh, no, no.
This is Billy Dee Williams, Lando Calrissian. It's time for the quote of the week.
That's right. We've gone, 2 weeks now without a Billy Dee quote?
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't do the show last week, and the week before we didn't have one. So we wanted to make it up to you. So here we go. Billy Dee Williams. Well, should I set it up or should I play the clip first?
Let's set it up first.
All right, we'll set it up. Cameo appearance by the one, the only, Billy Dee Williams on everyone's favorite spinoff, show, A Different World, spun off The Cosby Show. This is Billy Dee as grizzled landlord and ex-baseball player Knuckles Page. Again, from A Different World. Billy Dee, take it away.
You know why they call me Sweet Knuckles? Because if anybody tried sliding into home plate, they'd find my fist in their mouth. I don't like it when people get too close.
That just screams like, all right, we got Billy Dee to agree to do this. Let's come up with the thing that makes him sound like the baddest man on the planet. Like, here's this
like an angry ex-baseball player.
Yeah, like this rogue baseball player who's going out there and he's standing at home plate waiting for a guy.
He sounds like Ty Cobb.
He's shaking one angry fist. Like, you come near me. Like, you're...
They're just asking here on the chat about who's more grizzled. He does sound awfully grizzled.
He is quite grizzled, but you know that is the talent that is Billy Dee. He can be grizzled. He can be smooth.
That's true. He's a very versatile man.
He can do it all.
Very versatile.
He can be a singer.
Oh, in the Saints, say.
Love me some Billy Dee.
Oh, I love Billy Dee. You know what? This was a story, and I'm just throwing this out here, Pete. I'm hitting you between the eyes with something that's not on the show notes. But we never talked about this, that we confirmed that Night Shift is coming out on DVD.
Mm-hmm.
But no Billy Dee on the cover
That is
of the
a
video.
Huge marketing error.
I agree.
I don't know who's in charge over there, but they should be fired and probably beaten with soap in a sock.
Well, you know, the whole... You know, let's see, where is it? I think we got it here.
Maybe your clown needs a friend.
All right. Yes. You remember that. Okay,
yeah,
he
I
was
do.
Talking to that kind of squirrely guy on the show. Okay, so get this. I'm in Nashville. My mom's a huge General Hospital fan. I mean, like, my mom will tell me. She watches it in the evening on SoapNet.
Mm-hmm.
It'll go a week. I don't talk to my mom. She'll call, and she'll be like, just calling to let you know, don't call me between 9 and 10, because I'm watching General Hospital. You know, I haven't talked to her in a week.
Right.
So I'm down there and I'm in the other room and my mom is watching General Hospital and I hear this voice. And I'm like, that squeaky, goofy voice, that sounds awfully familiar. It was the clown needs a friend guy. He's now on General Hospital. He's moved up to the real show.
He's if you're asking me and
just as pretty as he sounds, let me tell you.
Billy Dee isn't on the real show, then he has moved down to the real show, my friend.
It's the Force Cast with Jason, Pete,
and a bounty hunter named Boosh.
I have good news for you, my lord.
That's good news.
Come closer, I have good news.
Well, like we said, and like Mr. Palpatine just said, we do have good news, at least good rumors. Nothing confirmed yet from Lucasfilm, but rumors are abound based on an announcement that was supposedly made. Well, I shouldn't say supposedly.
No,
was indeed made
yeah.
At the Hasbro Fall 2007 analyst event. And we actually have a clip. Pete, you got that number?
It is 53.
53. Thank you. We've got a clip here. You judge for yourself.
In addition to Transformers and Spider-Man television, Star Wars will receive major television support with an all-new animated series. However, we would suggest that Star Wars animation is like nothing you've ever seen before. Not animation, but more like Lucasfilm Cinemation. The additional big news here is that Star Wars Cinemation is scheduled to launch on 8/8/08 as a theatrical release. Yes, Star Wars will be back in theaters August 8, 2008. Then the series will appear on TV throughout the fall. This will significantly drive our highly innovative Star Wars toys and games line.
Okay. Now I'm laughing because I don't know if this was supposed to leak out. Probably not.
Probably not, no.
So, you know, hey, look, TheForce.net, despite the fact that, you know, we do post rumors, we do try as much as we can to verify things.
Mm-hmm.
And Philip Wise went to Lucasfilm and said, hey, you know, can we get some confirmation on this? This is a huge story. We've got, you know, one of the higher ups at Hasbro standing up in front of, you know, their stockholders saying, look, the future looks great. I mean, not only did he say sometime this fall, he said August 8th.
Yeah, you know, the big date, 8-08-08.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, August 8th,
that's very specific.
I would say it is. So they went to Lucasfilm, and here's what Lucasfilm spokesman had to say. I'd like to clarify Hasbro comments this morning about the Clone Wars TV series. We see it as a breakthrough animated television series and are exploring a number of innovative ways to introduce it to the public. No decisions regarding release strategy has been made yet. So Philip followed up with another question. Is a theatrical release introducing the series in the works? And this was the response. It's one of the many things being discussed, but we have no decisions yet. For us, it's all about finding a creative way to launch a creative TV series. Come on. I mean, the cats... look, I mean, I don't blame Lucasfilm for doing this in a way, but because they're not ready to announce it. But you know what? The cat's already out of the bag. Just say, yeah, you know what? It's going to happen. Wait for, you know, we're gonna announce it officially here soon. It's still going to be a big story. As we know, with the mainstream media, we in the Star Wars fandom community, we've known about Star Wars TV projects for how many years now?
Yeah.
And it's just now starting to hit public consciousness, you know, the general consciousness.
Right.
So by announcing it early or get it leaking, they're still going to run with
it. Yeah, it's still going to go. So, you know, but the answer and everything, the whole thing kind of... made me feel like, or made me think that this was just an amount of leverage, just kind of making sure that they, you know, when they go to a possible network, they can say, this is the deal, take it or leave it, or we're going to the theaters. Or they could say, hey, we're going to give you this push by releasing the first episode in the theaters, getting some hype behind it, and then, you know, you can run with the rest of it. You know, it's just, again, you know, they talk about creative ways, and, you know, it's all about marketing. It's all about finding a way to create more consciousness. And, you know, Star Wars is near the top of everybody's mindset in pretty much all the time. Anyway, I mean, we see it with the pop culture references and everything else that's going on. But, you know, whatever they need to make an extra push to make sure this is ultra successful, they're going to do it.
I still don't get why, now that the cat's out of the bag, like I said, why they just don't run with it. I mean,
well, I don't think logistically, they have it figured out. I think they think this would be a great idea. But, you know,
this guy said August 8th.
How do you do an August 8th, 08? One-day release of a 20-minute cartoon series? Or, I mean, are you going to do three episodes? Are you going to do one episode? Are you going to do a feature-length something?
What they're going to do is they're going to... I mean, I would bet that they've planned this out. Nothing happens by accident with Lucasfilm.
And that's very true.
My hunch would be that this is they've had this idea for a long time, that they could run to the theaters with this. My guess is the first three episodes are some sort of an arc. They're going to be able to hook them together, or that the first three episodes have always, or the first 90 minutes of the program has always been designed as a feature, or maybe the first episode is just a 2-hour movie or a 90. It's probably going to be 90 minutes.
Yeah,
you know. So my hunch is this has always been in the planning stages that there would be some sort of release, but it just so happens that August 8th is also a Friday. We know that most films, 99 times out of 100, are released on a Friday. This is no accident, dude. This is happening. It's happening. My guess is that, you know, the folks at Lucasfilm weren't ready to run with this yet, and the Hasbro guy is just trying to make the stockholders happy.
Well, that's a huge part of it. Huge part of it.
And they weren't in sync. But
that's amazing.
But let's skip all that crap and just celebrate a little bit. Star Wars is coming back to the theaters in August, baby. You know, with a, you know, I don't think it's going to be anything less than some sort of feature length thing. What I really hope is it's not just attached to some movie.
That's my huge fear. Is that, or even less than that? It's, you know, it's tacked on to the latest Disney whatchamacallit feature. And
what does he say? Did he say feature? What does he say?
No. He just says theatrical release.
Let's see. Let's listen to this again.
In addition to Transformers and Spider-Man television, Star Wars will receive major television support with an all-new animated series. However, We would suggest that Star Wars animation is like nothing you've ever seen before. Not animation, but more like Lucasfilm Cinemation. The additional big news here is that Star Wars Cinemation is scheduled to launch on 8/8/08 as a theatrical release. Yes, Star Wars will be back in theaters August 8, 2008. Then the series will appear on TV throughout the fall. This will significantly drive our highly innovative Star Wars toys and games line.
Yeah.
Again, you know, nothing definite out of that. You know, it's a theatrical release. You know, that could be one of a number of things. I agree with you. I hope that that does not happen, that it's not attached to, you know, Tomorrowland 2 or whatever.
No, I think, you know, I remember when the Batman animated series was premiering, and there was talk that it was going to be premiered in the theaters. It ended up not being. It ended up premiering in primetime, which was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But there was later then a theatrical film Phantasm,
Mask of the Phantasm,
was a great movie. Actually.
I really enjoyed that.
It was better than the last live action Batman. Well, not Batman Returns, but or Batman
Begins. Yeah, but Batman Forever, Batman and Robin,
right.
Batman and Scooby Doo.
I'm sorry, my friend. There was no Batman and Robin. I do not. That is not part of J canon. The J canon of my life does not include Batman and Robin. Suit me up, Uncle Alfred.
What are you talking about?
But this is really, really, really exciting. So I'm totally pumped for this. Look, you know what? Worst case scenario, even if it's a 20-minute the first episode, you know, they could put it on top of Spy Kids 4, and I'm going to be there. Okay.
Yeah. I think, like we said, you know, we haven't ever gone just for a trailer, but this we would go and see. I would go and see Enchanted if it was.
I want to see Enchanted. That's the difference between you and me. Anyway, speaking of animation, we got the writer's strike still going on, and I thought this was very interesting. Apparently, you've got a number of different camps out there. The Writers Guild of America is not the union of choice for most of the folks that work in animation, with the exception of, Pete, I'm sorry to say,
Simpsons.
The Simpsons writers. So the Simpsons is still, they're still in jeopardy. But you know what they're saying is, if this strike continues, which right now there's, as of now that I know of, there's no signs of this thing being resolved.
It seems to be getting
soon.
Very vicious.
And I also heard that the Screen Actors Guild, they're looking to strike, and that's why they're not crossing the picket lines on the writers, because they don't want the writers to do the same.
Right.
You know, so I mean,
well, they're out of every show.
Yeah. I think your character dies.
Yeah, your character dies very gruesomely without saying a word.
But so, you know, animation is seen as kind of a sanctuary for some of these out of work writers. And as of right now, we have no indication that this is having any adverse effect on, the development and production of, the Clone Wars.
Well, and if we know anything from George Lucas's past dealings with Hollywood in general, he has avoided every union that he possibly can.
That he can, right.
So,
right.
You know, he's going to have, if he has some mainstream writers, which it sounds like he does have some mainstream writers lined up for, at least the live action series,
right.
You can bet that he's also got some backups that are not mainstream or not union, or, you know, they're probably just people that are sitting around the ranch or the Presidio right now. You know, it could be Pete Vilmer. get a knock on his door. You want to write an episode?
Who knows what'll happen? But as of right now, no indication that there's any problems. But it'll be interesting to see what happens with this. I mean, what's going to happen with fall TV?
Well, you know, it's been very. You're starting to see already the reruns. I mean, Saturday Night Live has been in reruns for weeks now.
Right.
You know, I noticed that a lot of my favorite shows, like
The Office and 30 Rock.
30 Rock are all on repeats this week. And, you know, there was no Boston Legal, and that was part of Dancing with the Stars. But I'm going to bet that's going to be affected here sometime soon. You know, a lot of shows are starting to get backed up. And, you know, that is when this will start to come to a head, I think, because right now it doesn't affect John Q. Public, because we are still getting new episodes.
Some new shows. But
we're getting new episodes of Heroes. We're getting new episodes of all the shows we want to see. But once we start getting
The first half of Heroes is winding down.
Right, yeah. I mean, that's all, you know, 1 week left.
They'll take a hiatus probably till January.
Yep. And once we start to see repeat after repeat and there's nothing new coming on, that's when you'll start to see the pressure from advertisers and that type of thing. And,
right. And it's all about the internet.
Yeah.
Right now, it's all about the tubes and the internets and the writers wanting a piece of the pie. NBC made an estimated $18 million on their on the sale of their programming to iTunes. They claim they made nothing, but I mean, it's
I'm sure it's that's somewhere enough, in the middle.
Yeah, right. Somewhere between nothing and $18
million. Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to get into the nuts and bolts of it because I mean, I don't pretend to understand, you know, all the ins and outs, but
right.
They need to resolve something because it, you know, They're there to entertain us. That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
And, less talky, more worky. Yeah. Okay. Let's get back to entertaining me on my Thursday nights. But I'll tell you one thing that will never be affected by any writer's strike is the Forcecast, folks.
Yes.
We will be here live, except when we're on vacation for holidays and things like that. But we will be here live doing this show. So
I think it's quite obvious that we have no writers whatsoever.
We go up against American Idol in January. It'll be interesting to see what our numbers are.
Yeah.
You can TiVo American Idol and fast forward through it. You know, you don't need to hear all the Coca-Cola plugs and stuff. And I'm a big American Idol fan. So, hey, you know who I'm also a fan of?
Who's that?
Hayden Christensen. I've been a Hayden defender.
Yes.
He was on The View promoting his latest film, the one where I'll never see. Because I'm horrified of going under the knife. And
yeah.
He's there and he can feel everything and hear everything. And I still have visions, nightmares about when I had my wisdom teeth out. And I woke up several times during that surgery and it was not pleasant.
So you lived this.
I did. It felt like the guy was stepping on my face. No, it did. I
yanking.
Felt the yanking. It was horrible.
Awful.
But anyway, this new film that Hayden's in, Awake, which looks cool. I'm not going to see it, but the film I'm really excited for, and I can't think of the name of it.
Jumper.
Jumper looks killer.
It does look good.
I'm
it
so excited for good. This. So I'm glad to see Hayden, you know, back, you know, his movies getting into the theaters again, because I just didn't want this guy. I did not want the Star Wars legacy to be another tombstone for an actor. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I just didn't want to see that. And I do believe that Hayden's a talented guy, and he comes across as a nice, down-to-earth fella in interviews and never bashed Star Wars.
No, never once. Even though he was taking most of the heat for it.
Yeah, he took it like a champ. I mean, I don't know what he said in private, but I never saw him publicly say anything that... it was my worst work ever. So anyway, he was on The View last week, and we've got some clips here of Hayden on The View.
A couple of years ago, you were just a regular guy up in Canada, just hanging out, here and there. Mm-hmm. And suddenly you went for an audition for Anakin Skywalker, right?
Yeah.
And suddenly...
I like to hear that.
You went from a young man who was just hanging and chilling... to the thrill ride that you didn't know existed. How's it going?
It's good. I mean, I'm still hanging and chilling and doing all that stuff. But
what was it like that moment you heard that?
It was a life-changing, you know, bit of information.
How did it change your life? Suddenly, you know, we hear sometimes about people who become overnight successes, and it's very difficult. And the friends somehow disappear. In your real life then, was it wonderful, 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 or difficult, difficult, difficult?
I think it was a lot of wonderful. It definitely took a while to sort of acclimate in this, you know, new world where things did change and you know, your friends.
Were there young girls, you know, kind of getting
of
cozy?
Of course. Yeah. I told you Barbara is a Randy one.
Shameless.
Barbara's a Randy one.
Yeah, well, she's like, young girls getting closer.
She was all over him.
Actually, the old lady's getting close right now.
The entire interview.
did you see it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay, here we go. We got another clip. So, you know, he could have said, yeah, you know what? It was horrible. It ruined my life, and I had to wait 2 years before any of my films made it to the theater. but he didn't. Here's the next clip.
When you met George Lucas,
yeah,
What was that like for you?
That
I mean,
was,
this is, he's such a hero, and he does, yeah, look at you. Oh, that's sweet. There he is.
Yeah, there we are.
The creator of Star Wars. Yeah. What was it like?
It was one of the most incredible experiences, just meeting him for
did
the first time.
Did he hire you right off the bat?
No. He asked me to come up to a Skywalker ranch and sat down for maybe 15 minutes. He sort of just sat there looking at my resume, not saying much. You know, he's not an overly talkative guy, but just sort of taking everything in and
but asked you're me not an overly talkative guy. That must have been a long session.
Yeah. Yeah. He was like, "How you doing?" I'm like, "I'm good. All right."
Yeah, that's good.
Go down,
you got the okay, so long. Thanks
so
a lot.
So you play tennis. Yeah, play tennis. Cool. All right.
When I do hear him talk, though, I do think about that YouTube, that episode 3, the real episode 3 or whatever that was, where he's yeah. like, so you're like evil and stuff?
That guy's awesome.
Yeah,
but, well,
we had
but
that clip.
Like you said, it was nice. It's nice to hear him, you know, getting out there and finally getting some movies back on the big screen. And he's very gracious when he talks about Star Wars. And, you know, I don't think he wants it to define him. But I think he's a lot more accepting of the adoration and also some of the heat that he's gotten from the prequel films. But Barbara Walters was unscrupulous.
was she?
I think if she could have sat on his lap, she would have.
Oh my gosh. Well, I didn't see it, so I was glad that Jimmy was able to send these clips. And I don't know. Maybe it's probably on YouTube, actually.
It is.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Yes.
All right. I'll have to check that out. So Hayden has no ill will about Star Wars, but what about Natalie Portman? Natalie, who's been making the rounds talking about her latest film. Well, it's a couple of films. She did a Wes Anderson black comedy with Jason Schwartzman. Is she actually in the movie or just in the prequel that's on iTunes?
I think she's in the movie.
What's the
name
of that?
I never know.
I don't know what it's called.
Yeah.
But anyway, she's also talking, of course, making the rounds about her movie, Mr. Wubulous's Wonderful World of Christmas or whatever, with Dustin Hoffman. What's the name of that movie? Do you know?
Mr. Magorium's Magic Emporium like that. Wonder Emporium or something like that.
That's it. Okay. Pete pulling out all these movie titles.
I'm a fountain of useless knowledge tonight.
But they asked Natalie about Star Wars and, you know, hey, with all of the TV projects, which is something you'd ever consider. And she says, you know, I spent 10 years working on these films, and it's time to let it continue on its own without me. Well, I added the without me part. it's time to let it continue on its own. But she says, you know, I'm honored to have been part of the Star Wars prequels. She says, I got to basically latch onto this thing that was a huge success before I was ever involved. And so, I mean, she hasn't necessarily been you know, unfriendly to Star Wars, I would say, but I mean, she did even make fun of it on Saturday Night Live here.
People probably know me best from my role in the 3 Star Wars movies.
Yes. Funny you mentioned Star Wars. I have an episode 2 specific question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Are we honestly supposed to believe that Jango Fett willingly worked hand in hand with Sifo Dyas and the Galactic Senate to build a clone army on the planet of Kamino?
I'm sorry. I get this all the time. You know, certain kinds of people think that just because I was in Star Wars, I know everything about it.
So you don't know the answer?
Well, I'd begin by saying that Sifo Dyas never worked directly with Jango Fett, and it was Darth Tyrannus who selected the Mandalorian bounty hunter after Sifo Dyas' murder.
Right, I forgot that. I forgot about that.
Well, I guess you also forgot that Count Dooku, who later became Darth Tyrannus, murdered Sifo Dyas at the orders of Darth Sidious and then later presented his lightsaber to General Grievous.
Never mind.
Is it wrong that I love listening to that?
Is there anything
we'll keep this on a family show. Is there anything more fun to listen to than Natalie Portman totally geeking out? Even if she's just reading a crummy cue card, it's still great.
Yeah. Well,
I gotta admit.
You know, I can see her thespian point of view on this thing. You know, that we all want everybody to be attached to the project because we're so, you know, we appreciate what they did so much. And, you know, as long as she isn't saying it's her worst work or that, you know, there were silly films or anything else, you know, I can accept that. And, you know, she has a good time with it, but she's also had, a lot of success on her own already. Which, when you have that, it makes it a lot more difficult to say, yeah, I'm going to go back and do Star Wars, because you have the opportunity to do so many different things. So, you know, what?
Well, I was just trying to find...
Actually, I'm just going to defend her because she's really adorable. And she can't ever do wrong by me, so...
Well, I was just going to look here. I'm trying to find the Liam Neeson quote. This was before we started our show.
He was just, I can't find it, he was just bitter because he died.
Didn't he say something like, "Oh, they're really quite silly, aren't they?"
Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah,
I still think he should have been in the last one, but that's neither here nor there.
Yes.
You could say, "Oh, this is really quite silly, Master Yoda." Hey, you know, Wizard Universe is reporting that they can. Well, I guess, was this a poll, Pete?
Yeah.
Another one of those made up stories.
Yeah, one of those.
Let's take a poll and make it a news story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you could vote for what you feel is the best fictional weapon, and it looks like the lightsaber came in at number 4.
Ridiculous.
Ridiculous. That's right. Whoops. I had a quote there, or a clip there.
Fire. Aha! Not even Xena is a match for the limited edition double-edged lightsaber from Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace.
You removed it from its original packaging.
No! It's no longer a collectible!
What a nerd.
One of the best episodes ever.
One of my favorites.
But anyway, yeah.
And Darth Maul's lightsaber got its own rank.
Oh, it did.
The double blade came in at 13.
Oh, my goodness.
So, and I don't know if this was necessarily a poll from that. You know, I think it was just kind of more of a list, you know, where they were making different, you know.
They created themselves.
Yeah. You know, just the top whatever.
Let's see if we can find it here. We should have it.
All right.
We should have it here. Let's see what.
All right.
Oh, dear Lord.
Number one is Green Lantern's power ring.
That's dumb. What a nerd. Number 50 is the Predator's flying disc. I'd put that in the top 10,
that up there. Well, you know, I mean, they're kind of given, you know, when they were doing this, it's kind of some stuff that, you know, has superpowers, like He-Man's sword was number two.
Number 2.
Yeah. Well, you know, again...
Maul's lightsaber came in at 13.
Right.
Mr. Freeze's gun? 12?
Yeah.
The Sword of Omens from Thundercats? Number 11?
Well, it could give you sight beyond sight, so that, you know, that's awesome.
All right, the phaser, number 5. And it looks like the original phaser, which is pretty cool.
Right. But you know, obviously showing my Star Wars bias...
Lightsaber's
got to be number 1.
Oh, I totally agree. I mean... I totally agree. Because the lightsaber was so original.
Yeah.
You know, a blaster pistol or a phaser or a sword, you know.
Or a ring that gives you power. I mean, everybody's done that.
Yeah, the lightsaber was totally original.
Yeah.
He didn't rip that off from anybody. What about the Schwartz ring? You know,
a ring that gives you power, not original.
No, the Schwartz.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
Because it... Okay.
Look, I know where you are.
Your Schwartz is bigger than mine.
Yeah, goes the family aspect of the show.
You know what? We're kind of fortunate that we have a lot of folks that are in the education field that listen to the show. I don't know what that says about us.
I hope none of them are English majors.
Right. I hope not too. But there was a story posted on TFN about a teacher that uses Star Wars in his class, and actually it's part of this particular school. Let's see, what school is it? It's the
Gateway Charter High School.
Right, and what they do is their teachers get 50 minutes a week, I think, 1 hour every 2 weeks to go in depth on something that they're passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
And this particular teacher, he's an American history teacher, Christopher Kossman, is passionate about Star Wars. So for 1 hour every 2 weeks, he gets the students together, and they examine, you know, the philosophy, go into depth about Star Wars, and in some cases, you know, it could be car maintenance or hip hop music, or, you know, how to change a tire or whatever. So, but it's kind of a cool way to get the teachers to and the students to kind of like learn from each other and see the teacher outside of their role as just, you know, the guy at the blackboard ticking you off. So it's kind of innovative. So we sort of thought, you know, we know that we have a number of teachers and we have a great fan, community at the Rebel Scum forums under miscellaneous. You go to ForestCast. We thought maybe if you're a teacher, you could start talking and posting a thread about how to utilize, you know, Star Wars in the classroom. And this is something that's very near and dear to George Lucas's heart. They have the education wing arm of the Lucas Empire, where he's really trying to get technology-based learning into the schools. And that's something that I'm totally convinced that we have to do.
Mm-hmm.
This old school notion of, no, you just got to sit in your desk and book learning, you know, like I did when I was a kid. Well, you know what? I'm sorry. That's not how kids learn anymore.
No,
it's not. I was one of those kids.
That's not how I learned.
Exactly. It's not how I learned. And I take great offense that, you know, if you just sit a kid in front of a book, he's going to learn.
Right. And if he doesn't, he's lazy.
Right. Exactly.
I was quite a lazy young man.
Right. So anyway, don't mean to go off on a tangent there,
right,
but I thought it'd be kind of a neat topic, and maybe you disagree. Those of you in the education field, maybe you think that it's all about, you know, papyrus. But anyway, so glad to hear about this. It's fun to hear about it. We've had emails from other teachers about how to use, you know, Star Wars in their class.
You never even finished Jedi school.
So another little Simpsons clip there for you.
It's a big Simpsons week. It We're trying to get Simpsons in as much as we can before all the writers are done and they just canceled the series.
Right. This is kind of a cool little promotion that's going on. A charity benefit. If you go to the website is, what is it, charityhands.com? Let's see, where is it at? Let me open it.
Yeah, Celebrity Handprints?
Celebrityhandprints.com. What's with me tonight? I can't. My brain is just totally frozen. There it is, celebrityhandprints.com. George Lucas was one of... a handful of celebrities that donated their like an ink handprint and their autograph to this book. Let's see. It looks like this happened some time ago, but right now they're making giclées or limited edition prints of George's autograph and his handprint available for $50. The money goes to charity. You can get it framed. Again, that's a nice, unique gift.
50 pounds, my friend.
50 pounds, which, you know, that's like $1,000 yeah, American
that's like
dollars
$370,000.
But the size of each print is 9 inches by 11 and supplied with a professional 5x7 photograph of George holding up his ink-stained hand saying, yep, actually me.
Look.
That's
one of those things, you know, there's like in Rudy, they have the, you know, the Notre Dame, they hit that sign as they go out on the field.
Right, right.
You know, it would be great for, you know, when I'm getting ready to go play sports, high five George Lucas.
Oh yeah.
And then,
or before we do the ForceCast.
Right. Yeah. We should have one here.
We should buy one.
We should.
All the proceeds go to, some UK charities. Let's see what is it here? Celebrity Handprints Project. All profits go
to the same UK two charities. We're not going to tell you which ones.
Right, right.
But the
No. BBC Children in Need and Great Ormond Street Hospital Children's Charity.
Gotcha.
So,
Tis the season.
That's the book. Oh. The book goes. Well, you're a big fan of Johnny Depp. He's got a handprint in there in the book. All the prints, 30% of the prints. Go to the charity. So, and then this is kind of cool. You can check how they're doing and you can click and you can see all the different purchases and you can, you know, some transparency there and how the charity is running itself. As we kind of near the end of our news segment, I thought that we would talk a little bit about this. There was a story posted on Tech Republic blog about Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And when did Star Wars jump the shark? That's the question that they're asking. And I'm going to just not going to editorialize this. I'm just going to read it. Okay? The question, when did Star Wars jump the shark? The answer, according to the blog at Tech Republic, is Star Wars Phantom Menace, midichlorians. The first time I saw Star Wars, I wanted to be a Jedi. I was 6 and hadn't yet tuned into the princess impressing coolness that was Han Solo. Sure, I wasn't a Skywalker, and the Force wasn't naturally strong with me, but a short hyperspace jaunt to Alderaan and some personal time with a Jedi Master, and I could take my first steps into a larger world. There was some work involved, just like training for any martial art or superhero skill, but with enough effort and a pure heroic heart, I could become a techno-mystical knight protecting order and justice in a galaxy far, far away. It was a question of character, just like any great fairy tale always is. And then the Phantom Menace came along, and with all due disrespect to Jar Jar Binks, gave us the single worst Star Wars moment in a rapidly expanding history of awful Star Wars moments, midichlorians. Jedi, you see, aren't made. They're born. They're of the blood, nobility, maybe even a master race. If your midichlorian count isn't high enough, don't even bother to apply. Anakin Skywalker was basically the equivalent of a can't-miss basketball prospect from the mean streets of Tatooine who got a Jedi Academy scholarship despite being a punk. Yeah, that's going to resonate with the athletically addled dorks who used to idolize the franchise. Yoda wasn't awesome because he was a Zen master adept who spent centuries honing his communion with the Force, but because his little frog pig body was jam-packed with psionic parasites. That single slap in the face to Star Wars fans was the first of many attempts by Lucas to expand and explain the mechanics of his franchise, and in the process, he knocked out the foundations of what was once the coolest character concept in all of sci-fi. Thanks, George. So there you have it. We'll take your calls here on Talk Show. Wait a minute. We've got a caller already, but if you want to join in and talk about this, if and when Star Wars did jump the shark, and you can call us up if you're within the sound of our voices at 724-444-7444. We are Talk Show ID 46670. So I'm just reading what the guy wrote here. I agree a little bit. That's all I'm going to say. I agree a little bit. It doesn't ruin it for me.
No.
He's got a point.
Yes and no. I understand where he's coming from, but I always, even when I was a kid, knew or believed that, Jedi, you couldn't just be a Jedi.
No?
You had to have some communion with the Force, and, there was something special. Otherwise, everybody would do it.
You got that?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Well, you know what?
I'm not going to say it again, but yeah.
I think there always was the idea that it was something, I hate to use the word biological, but it was something that was passed down.
Yeah.
We realized that Luke was destined for greatness because his father was a great Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
Even before we knew his father was Darth Vader, we knew his father was a Jedi that fought in the Clone Wars.
Right.
So I think there was that sense. I mean, they built the Luke character up that he was, you got the notion that he was destined for great things even when he was just a farmer.
Right.
But I think what this writer is saying is that it went too far the other way.
Yeah, but I don't think, using his athletic prowess analogy,
mm-hmm.
There are some people who are extraordinarily gifted athletes who, have all the gifts and talents that have been given to them, by whatever, to be great athletes.
Mm-hmm.
But the greatest players in the annals of sports aren't the ones who can run the fastest or jump the highest or, throw the farthest or throw the fastest. It's the ones who put in the work, who have the combination of brains and moxie and whatever else, who become legends in the field. I mean, granted, those things put you further
ahead.
Well,
who was the college player that went to Ohio State and everyone thought he was going to be an incredible...
Oh, Maurice Claret.
Right. Right.
And anybody who doesn't know the story, he was a football player. He was a can't-miss Ohio prospect, went to Ohio State, had all the physical gifts in the world, played 2 years there and was fantastic, but didn't have it upstairs. And he got drafted, got cut before the season even started, and, was arrested several, weeks later just because he just
He was partying
together.
And living like he was a professional athlete.
And he got into debt and got in with mobsters, right. But Joe Montana is a perfect example. Hopefully everybody knows Joe Montana, a great American football player.
Even I know that.
Yes. He did not have a rocket arm. He did not run fast. He was not huge. But he just had everything come together to make him one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Just because you have all the gifts or you have a high midichlorian count, and this is just the way I interpret it, doesn't guarantee your Jedi greatness. And just because you don't have, the highest midichlorian count doesn't mean you won't be a great Jedi.
Well, here it begs the question, was Anakin Skywalker a great Jedi?
Oh. Well, he did bring balance to the Force. Splunge.
Well, he turned out to be. Well, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm getting at? I mean, how do you measure greatness?
Right. Well, exactly. And again, that how do you measure greatness in anything that we do? You know, there's individual accomplishments or there's, you know, what you've done for society as a whole or, you know, your team, if that's the concept that you're going for.
You know, the other thing to keep in mind, too, is look at Han Solo.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about a great hero who almost paid the ultimate sacrifice for his friends. In Empire, and he wasn't Force sensitive. He wasn't a Jedi, but he was still heroic. So you can still have that sense. Right. But I also understand there was something about the character of Yoda in particular, and even Obi-Wan, when you realize that he was marooned there for so many years, that made you think that you too, if you went into seclusion, that sort of that monk life, you too could reach the level of spiritual calm or Zen or whatever you want to call it. You know, that they did. So I do see his point. But I also think that there are other things you can look for in Star Wars aside from just the Jedi. And I, you know, that's part of the genius in a large sense of the two trilogies. Because the second trilogy really turns the first one on its head in a way.
Mm-hmm.
You realize the Jedi aren't perfect. In fact, the Jedi are really quite flawed.
Yes.
They become bloated, lazy, arrogant. Fearful, you know, their reluctance to face the Sith head on once they realize that they're back.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going from the films here, folks. I know you can probably find a comic book story that contradicts me, but I'm just taking it from the films. You know, you realize this dichotomy between the living Force and then the more rigid. I wrote a blog about it on my StarWars.com blog. You know, the Qui-Gon living Force, and then you had the Yoda kind of Mace Windu rigid, you know, you got to do this, that real hard discipline. And I think it was, you know, Yoda that finally realizes in the end that that's really not what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
It is about love and it is about compassion in these things.
Yeah.
Anyway, we got some callers here. You are on with the Force Cast. Do you have a comment about Star Wars jumping the shark? Hello.
Hey, I thought there was someone in front of me.
Yeah. No, you're it.
I think it's the second time this has happened.
We like to play jokes like that.
What I was going to say was kind of on the whole jumping the shark thing.
Okay.
Back to the whole midichlorian discussion. Sorry.
That's all right. That's what we're talking about.
Not sure how I was going to word it. Basically, here's my point of view from what I remember of the original trilogy.
Okay.
The kind of impression that I got was it wasn't supposed to be some kind of, well, it was kind of restrictive and kind of like an in-crowd thing for the Jedi, but at the same time, how would Luke have known that he would even be capable of doing it if the Force wasn't some kind of universal power that even, you know, non-Force sensitive people had some limited influence on from it.
Okay. I see what you're saying. I thought you were going to go the opposite way. I thought you were going to be making the case that clearly there is something born in you that gives you the belief or the idea that you are even capable of these types of things. You know what I mean? That there's something just kind of innate.
Well, that too.
Yeah.
But not to the degree where you have to have this many midichlorians in you or else you can't use the Force.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's kind of where I was at too. You know, it's not a pure ranking in that if you have the top midichlorian count, you are the best Jedi. You're the most powerful Jedi. It can't work that way. I don't want it to.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, I think I always believed that there were degrees, but I think in my heart of hearts that I also thought that it was a club really anybody could get entry-level status to. You know, maybe I wanted to believe that.
Right.
You know.
Well, yeah, that's... I agree with you.
Well,
I mean,
and they never...
That anyone can learn to, but certain people are born into higher strength.
Right.
And they made a point of stating that the Skywalker lineage was especially powerful in the Force.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, that was that was clear from the beginning.
And there's nothing to say in the Metachlorians or you know, however that transpires, that by doing good deeds or by living the proper life or by being, you know, pure of heart or however he words it, that that doesn't increase your Metachlori count, that that it's not a static thing, that it continues to fluctuate as your life continues to evolve.
Let me throw something out to you. Just kind of crazy talk here.
Toss this out.
Do you think that Lucas did this to get away from the religious comparisons? Because after Star Wars came out, and especially after Empire, every major religion in the world wanted to claim Star Wars, saying, well, you know, clearly George Lucas is a Christian because look at Star Wars. Or clearly he has Buddhist, you know, tendencies or sympathies. Or, you know, so, I mean, you got a lot of that. You had even Francis Coppola suggesting to Lucas that he pull an L. Ron Hubbard and make himself, you know, head of his own church, and he could really make a fortune. So I'm wondering if this midichlorian thing wasn't just a way for him, you know, to be able to, you know, kind of not get rid of those comparisons.
I'm sure it's possible. I don't think he would have consciously done that because I don't think he ever cared to begin with.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I think, you know, he's always taken that attitude of, oh, well, you know, people see it how they see it, you know, so.
Right.
And pardon the George Lucas impressions this evening because they've all been coming from me and not from Jason and his spectacular George Lucas. But, you know, I think that's a possibility, and maybe subconsciously that was part of it. But I don't think he purposefully looked to remove that or look for an out, if you will, with the whole thing. So.
Well, it's a good topic, and I was glad that the I mean, I'll be honest with you, the blogger wrote a lot of things that I have kind of thought, you know, in my mind, but you know, I've said this before, the prequels are not perfect, but they do not ruin anything for me. They only add,
and only
in my opinion,
things.
It only enhances things, absolutely, and luckily the films are. The films now, I'm not talking about the EU, but the films are really open to interpretation. And I think that's the way Lucas intended them. I really do. I think that he kind of wrote them loosely. And even though some might feel that the midichlorian concept is restrictive, you can read into it what you want.
Right.
Because he doesn't really take it much further.
No. I mean, there's no explanation into it other than, yes, that there is a physical measure of your ability,
right,
you know, with the force, but it doesn't say whether it's static, it doesn't say whether that is has anything to do with other your ability to sense it.
The only thing that I'll say is that I don't think it was necessary from a story point of view. I don't see the necessity of it.
I don't think it was necessary because they never expanded on it. And I know you and I have talked about that on a number of occasions, how there's a lot of plot lines that are laid out in episode one that just dissipate and are never touched on again, that could really have, you know, either pulled things together or, you know, created a whole number of other questions.
Blasted into oblivion.
Yes.
So, anyway, hey, well, did you have any other comments? I'm sorry we kind of lost track of you there.
Well, I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I have anything else right now. I forgot.
Sorry.
Hey,
thanks a lot. We got another caller here. We'll go ahead and take you. You're on with the Forcecast. We're talking about midichlorians and if Star Wars did jump the shark. Hello. Oh, well, no one to meet us. all right. I guess that does that. You know what we've got to do, though? We've got one more news story for you here.
It's unthinkable.
The unthinkable story of the week. I love this.
And you couldn't have... I was waiting to see how long we were going to go before we had a Billy D unthinkable story of the week.
Well, we almost had one with him not making the cover of the DVDs.
Right, that was going to be the one last week, and that is truly unthinkable. I don't know what they were thinking, but anyway,
it's beyond unthinkable.
It's beyond.
Yeah. Incomprehensible.
We don't even want to make fun of it on this show because it's just that dumb. But lightsaber fan interviewed Billy Dee about his role as Lando, and one of the questions is when I wrote down the questions for this, I was reading the making of, and there's a page in there where you were rehearsing a scene with Carrie Fisher. In the original script, she was annoyed with Lando and slaps him around the face, but she didn't telegraph it. She actually slapped you round the face. And you said, "You're supposed to telegraph it." And she replied, "What's telegraphed?" Where did and Lando's and bad impressions all over the
Pete Natal. Yes.
And Lando's reply or Lando's Willie Billy D's reply is, "Where did you read this?" I said, "Willie D." Willie D Nelson. That's it. He's the newest D.
He says now, what does he say?
He says, "Where did you read this?" And he says, and the reply is, "It was in Alan Arnold's making of book, Once Upon a Galaxy." Amazing what people will make up. Was that made up? I've always loved that story. If that happened, I swear to God, I don't remember it.
Actually, I think I know how that might have gone. It probably sounded a little bit like this.
"You know why they call me Sweet Knuckles?"
They don't talk about it because there's actually still an ongoing court case about it because Sweet Knuckles popped out and said, "Don't slap me again."
"Said I'll slap you so hard you look like Debbie Reynolds."
"You know why they call me Sweet Knuckles?" You know, again, there's just certain things in life. And I find myself, you know, as my life has obviously changed since we started doing this podcast by leaps and bounds. But there are certain things that you go through during a day, and there are certain lines that I'll read or things that I'll hear that I'll think to myself, only Billy Dee could really deliver that with the needed panache.
Yeah.
You know, just, and this is, you know, again, even telling the story about how it didn't happen is awesome.
I know. It's great. But
it's only one way to describe it.
I wish
it.
They would. Yeah. Absolutely, positively.
It's outrageous.
And
it's unthinkable.
Well, there you go. There's your story of the week. What we missed by not having that. Although maybe we'll see it on a deleted, you know, if we ever release the complete, you know, deleted scenes and all of that, maybe we'll actually see the attempted slap of Billy Dee. And she's so little, too. Like, I just picture this, her jumping up and slapping his face. Oh, there's your unthinkable, unbelievable, outrageous story of the week.
It's unthinkable.
In addition to my collection.
Hey, what are you trying to push on us?
He's worth a lot to me.
Action figures each sold separately.
Now we're just going to cover this sort of quickly here. We got some collecting news for you. Nothing huge going on right now, but, you know, as expected, Hasbro, who, again, let the cat out of the bag if you're just now joining us, about a theatrical release of the Clone Wars animated series on August 8th, 2008. Buy your tickets now. Yeah, take it to the bank. I'm saying this is going to happen. I absolutely believe this. But with the holidays rapidly approaching, it's time to talk about toys. And the Star Wars franchise, the Star Wars property, is the number two highest grossing toy line for boys once again. 30 years later. 30 years. I mean, I think, wasn't it, it was Christmas when the early bird thing came out.
Yeah.
Right? You didn't get the figures until, I think spring. So it was almost a year after the film was released. So imagine that, you know, 30 years after such an auspicious beginning, it's still the number two boys, you know, toy franchise. Right. So,
well, and people listening to this show and all of us that go to the Rebel Scum and the Force.net, we don't need this type of reminder.
That's true.
You know, we don't need an official press release.
No,
saying,
we don't.
It's still awesome.
Yeah, but it's kind of neat. But next time you're made fun of, you can go, "See, I have this press release. It says I'm in the mainstream."
Oh, please.
It's number two.
I'm number two in boys' toys.
What was number one?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
It's not Family Guy merchandise, I'll tell you that much.
Hey, there's a mysterious photo floating around the internet, courtesy of our good friends at 4inches.de. Also the name of my autobiography. Anyway, they've uncovered a photo of a new stormtrooper figure with red markings. Nadal, stop it.
A new low.
Anyway, with these red markings, it's not a clone trooper, my friend. No, it is a stormtrooper with red markings. No word on whether this is from The Force Unleashed, but it is mighty likely that it is. So are we looking at maybe a Force Unleashed preview figure to hit early 08? Are we looking at a mail away? What are we looking at?
It's unusual because we've seen a lot of the Force Unleashed figures.
Right.
So, I mean, we've seen a lot of them released, and we didn't see this one before. So it's very up in the air as to what it could be. If it is a mail away, that would be kind of a cool mail away because it is a unique figure.
Oh, he looks great.
The paint apps are very different. It's something that they've never done with a Stormtrooper before. So
right. I'm waiting for them to reverse it out, make it in a Star Wars exclusive, and charge me $29 for it. Instead of the red highlights, it'll be red with white highlights. Right,
well, I can tell you that you probably won't have to look too far, my friend.
So nobody knows what it is, but our own Dan Curto says, you know, although best guess would be Force Unleashed. And, you know, when Dan says stuff like that, I take it to the bank.
I usually deposit that one.
Kind of like when one of the heads up of Hasbro says that we're going to get a theatrical release of Clone Wars on August 8th of 2008. Something tells me to believe it, regardless of what the folks at Lucasfilm say. They got to be so ticked off right now.
Son of a jerks.
How about some new comic packs, rumors? I think we covered some of these, but looks like perhaps next year, 2008, we're going to get more waves of the popular comic 2-packs, and they're hard to find. I mean, you do see them on the pegs, but and they're getting easier to find. I think the stores are, you know, starting to buy more of these, but man, the first two waves were hard to find. Wave 3 and now Wave 4 is finally out. If you've pre-ordered a case from Entertainment Earth, as I have, you should have received that by now. But here's Wave 1. I'm going to need Pete to help me out with some of these characters because I don't know who they are. I know most of these. Yeah, okay. So Toll Score, I have no idea who that is. And Asajj Ventress, I totally know who that is.
Toll Score is another Dark Jedi in the he was very prevalent in the Republic series.
Okay, great.
The comic book series.
Darth Talon and Cade Skywalker from the great Star Wars Legacy. Speaking of which, you know what? I haven't made it to the comic book shop in a long time.
Oh.
Our box is going to be awfully full.
Yes. It's going to cost us $90.
Yeah, right. Princess Leia and Prince Xizor, Star Wars Shadows of the Empire. Now, that's very, very cool to get a new Xizor figure. I would imagine these are not going to be... Oh, excuse me. I jumped down.
You did jump
to Wave
down.
2. Excuse me. You didn't hear that. So when I mentioned this, I want you to act surprised. Continuing Wave 1, Anakin and Dirge from Star Wars Republic. I know both of them, of course.
Yeah.
Wave 2, Grand Admiral Thrawn and Talon Card. Woohoo! Grand Admiral Thrawn. He is part of J-Canon, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Darth Vader and Admiral Trakta from Star Wars Empire. Princess Leia and Prince Xizor. Wow, I never would have guessed that one. We just said it earlier. from, of course, Shadows of the Empire. Very, very cool. Love to see the Zahn stuff coming out. I mean, I have the Thrawn that was released back in the 90s. Great figure. So I can just imagine now with the sculpting that they have how great this is going to be.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. Wave 3, Darth Vader with white armor and Princess Leia from Star Wars Infinity's Return of the Jedi.
That one is very cool. I was very anxious to get that one.
Yeah.
Again, why would I buy another Darth Vader? I can tell you why. Because he's got white armor. I'm sure they're going to do it cool. So,
Antares Draco and Ganner Krieg from Star Wars Legacy. Dengar. And Fen Scheisse. Scheisse, for you German folks. And Toby Dalla and Princess Leia from Marvel Star Wars. So Princess Leia, finally a Marvel version of Princess Leia. So exciting things happening with the Star Wars comic 2-packs. It's a great line. And, you know, it's a good opportunity for those of you that are new to collecting to kind of start there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and kind of limit yourself because a lot of the characters are going to be recycled into that line. So,
yeah.
It's and for you EU buffs, I mean, it's a natural.
Yeah.
How about the memo bots? You know, the flash drives? Mm-hmm. Four new additions are on their way, due in late January. Luke Skywalker in X-Wing gear. Princess Leia, a la New Hope with the cinnamon bun hairdo. Han Solo, it could be Jedi, could be Star Wars. Mostly likely looks like Star Wars. And Boba Fett with a removable helmet design. So that's actually very cool. I love these things. These are great. So these are the Momoko flash drives, and I think this is Wave 2.
I believe so, yes.
Wave 1 was popular. I know this is going to be very near and dear to our own Dustin Roberts' heart. How about R2-D2 soy sauce bottle? Do you remember, folks, back not long ago, we had a list of the worst Star Wars products ever made, and there was one with a terrified-looking C-3PO as you tore scotch tape from between his legs? Well, I've got a second worst ever. The R2-D2 soy sauce bottle coming from, looks like, Japan. Kid you not, you actually put your soy sauce bottle inside the R2, and it actually comes out like through his eye socket almost.
It's just
or
leaks out.
Right.
You know, and they have the picture of the person using it, like, right. Look at this handy demonstration, and it's just pouring out like,
right.
Like you've...
They should have like an infomercial, like, you know, other soy sauce bottles can leak, and they have the person real right. frustrated, and it yeah. explodes in them.
Right. Not with R2.
Right.
That's completely but ridiculous.
It is. I actually thought about moving that into the unthinkable.
It is close, especially it's, because they also have an R2Q5 version of it, too.
Now that's outrageous.
You must contact me.
Play back the entire message.
What message?
Message after the message.
The Emperor commands you to make contact with him. It's a trick. Send no reply.
And we've got some Star Wars feedback to share. This email that we got was pretty good. This was from James from Melbourne. Pete, do you want to take this one?
Sure.
All right.
And this is coming directly from James. He says, okay, I've just finished watching the Star Wars Holiday Special for the first time. I thought the constant bagging it got from interviewers was a bit rough and thought it deserved a chance like Caravan of Courage and Battle of Endor. Unfortunately, I was hugely mistaken. The Ewok adventures seem to be incredible works of art that should be recorded in annals for all time when compared to this horrific show. There are not words in the English language or any language, as far as I'm concerned, to express how truly awful this show is. I would like to offer my services to George Lucas in destroying every copy that has ever existed, and I wish to God that I had not watched it. Now, no matter how bad a TV show is that I watch, it will never be as bad as the holiday special. There are a few moments I will remember that have been life-changing to me. The fall of the Berlin Wall, the first Iraq War, the first time I made love to a woman, and now I will never forget the first time I watched the Star Wars Holiday Special. Makes you wonder about the new TV show coming out, though it doesn't, doesn't it? Maybe after 200 episodes, George will get desperate for stories, and we'll have an episode focused on Lumpy. Maybe the death of Lumpy, or Lumpy gets killed, or someone gets a friggin' oven, throws Lumpy in it, and incinerates the jerk. I edited a little bit there. Sincerely, James from Melbourne. And he says, P.S., if anyone complains to me about Jar Jar or Mannequin Skywalker again, I'm going to tie them down, tape their eyes open, and make them watch the holiday special. And P.P.S., oh, but it was nice that we got to see the first and only time B. Arthur ever got hit on in a bar. I couldn't agree more with this email.
Oh, speaking of B. Arthur, we Jimmy was kind enough to get us some clips of the holiday special. For those of you who have not seen it, here are some clips to tide you over. Speaking of B. Arthur.
Gentlemen, I guess you didn't hear what I said. The Empire has closed us down. Now, I know this sort of thing happens all the time. I'm sure it's just temporary, but... Fellas, the party is over! Dare you! You stop that!
Oh, my gosh. I'm expecting Rue McClanahan to walk in at any moment, you know?
Blanche Devereaux is shutting it down. Oh, my... I mean, you know... With Steve talked about it a lot, where he said it was just boring, but it's more so than that, it is just bizarre.
It is bizarre.
You know, they talk about Art Carney, and he shows up on the Wookiee planet And he's got his suspenders on and his button-down shirt like he just came from a golf tournament.
Talk you about know. Pulling you out of the right. world. Yeah, yeah. Out of the universe. Speaking of Art Carney.
I know just why you're calling. You're wondering when that shaggy carpet you ordered will arrive at your home. Let me assure you, madam, it's on its way. You know, it was made especially for you by a little old woman four planets away. She did it all by herself. In fact, you might say she did it by hand. Solo.
I mean, it's horrible. It's horror. It's so bad.
It is just absolutely.
We've got more. We've got more. How you know? Not just Art Carney and B. Arthur, but I mean, it was you know pretty much the complete cast. Here's C-3PO, Leia.
I have made the connection. You may speak now if you wish.
Mala, it's so good to see you. Happy Life Day.
She says it may be a happy life day for you, but personally, she's seen happier ones.
Well, you know, and it was, if you thought Festivus was a great made-up holiday.
Life day.
Life day's even better, and it gets no better than hearing Harrison Ford actually say life day.
I'm going to lightspeed. That's the spirit. You'll be celebrating life day before you know it.
But it wasn't all about life day.
I know your family's waiting. I know it's an important day.
No, yes, it is. It's all about life day.
Oh,
it's a day. Well, I could never top Steve Sansweet singing it.
No.
Here's a little bit of Lumpy the Wookiee. Sounds remarkably like a Tauntaun. We had that email some time ago, but
well, that is you know, in honor of the anniversary, which was a couple weeks ago, of the holiday special, we are happy to show you why Lucasfilm spent so much time telling you it does not exist, because it's just horrible,
just bad. It's just bad. Hey, we got another email here. This is Andy from Seattle. He says, hey, I heard your segment about going to see a movie for the episode 3 trailer. I did that for the episode 1 trailer. Embarrassed to admit, I saw Meet Joe Black, an unmerciful chick flick. The only thing that made the movie interesting is a scene where Brad Pitt is smashed between an SUV and a bus.
That
Nothing against Brad Pitt, but it was brutal and unexpected.
That is an awesome scene. Like, I stopped watching after that, but I thought, that actually made it worthwhile.
It was brutal and unexpected.
Because it is. It's completely out of the blue, and I was amazed at the animation that they used, because it was, wow, he just got really hit hard.
Well,
which I enjoyed.
Yeah, the episode 1 trailer ran before and after Meet Joe Black, because I had seen no Star Wars films for 15 years. I couldn't wait to see the first moving images. Remember that day well. Then I sat through a long Meet Joe Black to watch it again. I'm a geek, what can I say? And he says, great job on the podcast. Keep up the indie updates. I'm up for Indie 4, and that's fine. But we'll also be listening to Ed Dolista in his IndieCast. But here's some fan reaction about the episode 1 trailer.
It was just totally intense.
I was really impressed with the lightsaber. New lightsaber has two ends on it instead of one.
My heart's beating so fast, I don't know what to think.
This is going to be something I'll remember and tell my children. It's wonderful. I know, I sound crazy.
That's the first time I've ever seen the theater leave after a trailer is shown. I heard one guy say, that's the best 2 minutes I've seen in a long time. So I think it's gonna be huge.
There you have it. A little trip back in time. Remember what it was like when you saw those first few scenes of episode 1, The Phantom Menace. And that's nice to go back and remember.
I do actually remember the movie I saw that with. It was The Matrix.
Which yeah, in the and people, of itself the people was a good, that saw The Matrix, movie. You know, and that was a lot of people. I mean, I have this crazy theory that had the Star Wars trailer not been attached to The Matrix, you'd have never seen Matrix 2 and 3.
It's possible.
I think it would have been a flop. It was. I just don't think it had enough mainstream potential. If it wasn't for that Star Wars audience to jumpstart it, it wouldn't. I know that's. I have nothing to back that up. It's just my own personal theory.
Right.
But anyway, we've got some callers here. We want to make sure that we get them on. We're running a little bit long this week. You're on with the Forcecast with Jason and Pete. Hello, hello.
Hey, guys. It's Eric from Maryland.
Eric from Maryland. How are ye?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. What's up?
Well, I have just a few things this time, I promise. It's not going to take long.
Okay.
Yeah, just on the issue of the Momoko flash drives, I was just wondering, since we know there's going to be a C5 and we know you're going to do a mega cast, are you stocking up on flash drives?
You know what? We actually should record this show on a Momoko flash drive.
We should.
If the Momoko people are listening, which is very doubtful, please send us a flash drive so that we can actually use.
You can be our official Momoko flash drive sponsor.
But we got to have at least 2 gig.
That's right. So, minimum.
Yeah, we'll try to do that. We have to get a free one, though.
Yeah, definitely some promotional material from Momoko.
That'd be nice.
And then I had a question about the theatrical premiere of The Clone Wars. Do you guys think that if there was enough interest and if it was possible, you guys would do a live show from the premiere?
Well, there would have to be a lot of things that would fall into place. If there was a premiere and we were invited, that would get me on a plane to go and do a live forest cast from the premiere.
Well, and even if it was just you and I going to the very first event and, you know, maybe picking a big theater somewhere and just heading out there and having an event.
We'll have our own premiere.
If it's 8808,
yeah,
by God, we'll see what we could do something.
A good question. I would definitely do it, you know, if we could pull it together. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Eric, you're in Maryland. Would you fly to Ohio for it?
No, if you guys were going to be at the premiere, I think I would have to work something out.
You're too good to us, Eric.
That's cool. Yeah, that's a good thought. I mean, it could be a heck of an event. I mean, there's no C5 this year, but if this turns out to be a bona fide theatrical release, we could be looking at a lot of fun things this summer.
Well, and I hope so,
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, someone in the chat on the subject of Billy Dee and the quote you played earlier wanted to know, and they actually had a question about who would win in a fair fight, Billy Dee or Chuck Norris, and I had to change it to Billy Dee or Jack Bauer because I can't stand Chuck Norris. Who do you think would win?
Is this even a question?
No, because it's a Star Wars podcast, Billy Dee wins hands down. Artificial hip and all.
Well, first of all, Billy Dee's coolness would immediately freeze Bauer,
right,
and he would fall and break like glass.
Yes.
That's how I see it.
Yeah, and Chuck Norris, I don't know.
I do love those Chuck Norris jokes.
Those are pretty funny. And I'll tell you, I got to give some credit to Chuck Norris. I know Eric hates him, but... I got to give some credit to him because he has kind of embraced that whole thing, and he takes it tongue in cheek with everybody else, and he plays it up as much as anybody else.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, that's great. I love those.
We could ask the question of Chuck Norris versus Jack Bauer, but that's another podcast.
That's right.
Exactly.
Right.
And then I actually just, this is really the last thing I promise. this is one thing, I don't know if you saw this on TSN, I don't know if it's been posted yet, but I emailed Mike Barrick about it. I saw on his blog there are some really intricate Star Wars birthday cakes.
Hmm.
And I, you know, since you guys are doing birthday plugs on the show, thinking, I hate to plug my blog, but if you go to it, you can find the links. And if you have any friends who
plug
like Star
your
Wars,
blog. You can... No. This is plug it. Where can we find your blog? Go ahead.
All right. It's blogs.starwars.com/Mace Windu.
Yes, plug it.
yes, that's our.com/Mace Windu.
Cool.
And there's a Max Rebo, which is really good. There's a Yoda.
I'm gonna go there right now.
They look what?
I'm going there right now. Keep talking.
Oh, I'm just gonna say, yeah, they're really good. The Max Rebo comes with the little instrument that he plays. I don't know what you call it, but it's very good. And I think, I don't know what the pricing is. I don't know if they have instructions or if you just buy them off some website or if that would be really bad for by the time they got to your house. But anyway, you should consider, you know, trying to find some instructions. I think that would be the best gift you could bring for a Star Wars fan's birthday.
Well, I actually remember, and I forget the name of the comp. Oh, my gosh. Look at these things. Okay, these aren't like the flat sheet cakes where you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you just put
my mom made me a Darth Vader head.
Right,
you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I forget the name of the company that did those, but look at this thing. This is incredible. The Stormtrooper. I just see the Stormtrooper. Where's the Max Rebo? Oh wait a minute, here it is. There's the link. Okay, I see it. The Max Rebo here. Let's see. Holy Toledo! Wow. All right, now I got to see the Yoda. Yeah, this is great. This is great audio content here. Me oogling these photos that no one can see.
Yes.
All the Yoda is oh my gosh, that's a cake. That's incredible. Oh, the torso is the torso is cake covered with buttercream and dressed with fondant fondant clothing, arms and feet. That sounds appetizing. Oh, you had me at buttercream. But no, that's awesome. Hey, man, thanks. And the I'm checking out the blog here. It looks like you post quite a bit. So for those of you looking for another source of Star Wars news, you got the Daily Eric. It's blogs.starwars.com/Mace Windu. And Eric often finds stuff before even TFN and emails Mike or emails us and says, hey, did you post this? So make sure you put his blog as one of your bookmarks, because it looks like you know your stuff, Eric. You really do, buddy.
Well, I wouldn't call it a source of information, but, I mean, if you want to verify something that's been said somewhere else, you know, I would like to think somebody reads it, so.
All right. Hey, man, thanks so much. Appreciate it. You have a great one, okay?
Thank you. You too.
All right. And we're going to take, we got another caller here. You're on with the Forcecast.
Okay. Fiddling Fan actually had a question, but his mic is broken, so he elected me to speak as his proxy.
All right. A proxy question, all right, for Fiddling Fan. Anything.
He wants to know if there's any news on the Curto cast and if there's a name or a date set up for that yet.
The Curto cast. Well, you know what? I'm just going to look here to see if Dan graced us with his presence this week. If he was, doesn't look like he was here. So since he's not listening, we haven't seen anything. No, actually, you know, Dan, Dan is a very, very busy guy. He runs. Well, I mean, he's not the only person at rebelscum.com. But look at the posts and look at the name. I mean, he's obviously responsible for the lion's share of the photo galleries on Rebel Scum. He also works with some other folks on Cool Toy Review. So, you know, Dan is definitely getting work done. It's just it's hard for him, I think, to flip over and do sort of an audio version of it. And he's committed to doing it. I've spoken to him on about it lots of times. He had a bit of some personal issues that came up fairly recently and kind of got sidetracked. But I know it's a priority. I would look for it very soon after the new year, if not before. So it's definitely in the works, and it's going to be awesome when it happens, because, you know, his knowledge of Star Wars collectibles, particularly with the Hasbro stuff, it's just not matched anywhere else. You're never going to get that from any other podcast. Is that cool? Hello?
I guess that's okay.
Oh.
Well, I like guess. It or not, that's what it
that's
is.
That's the answer. That's the answer. But I tell you what, if you want to get the answer right from the source, curto@rebelscum.com, that's the best way to get the answer. Bug him. You know, he's tired of hearing it from me. So, anyway, hey, man, thanks a lot for calling. Thank you for being Feline's proxy. That's very nice of you. All right. Well, wow. This was a long show, wasn't it? Goodness gracious me.
You said that, and I was thinking to myself, where's the music?
Wowie wow. Well, there you have it. Your weekly dose of Star Wars wrapping up here for the week of November 30th. It's been a blast. Thank you to everyone who joined us at TalkShoe.com. Just to remind you, we are here just about each and every week, Wednesdays, at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you want to be part of the action, get a free membership at TalkShoe.com. And you too can be part of the chat. If you're not available, you can, of course, always listen to the show via recorded podcast, available just about every Friday, plus lots of microcasts, including the new IndieCast. And Jimmy Mac has always got something brewing. I wouldn't be surprised if we see a Galaxy of Music showing up the next couple of weeks.
Yep.
I have nothing to back that up with, but I wouldn't be surprised. Yes. With the holidays coming, you know, come on, it's a natural. We know that Jimmy loves clips from the holiday special, so any chance he can use that, you might have it. Pete, how else can you be a part of the show?
Well, you can always podcast us. You can always contact us at podcast@theforest.net. That's our email. Or you can also join us. Make sure if you haven't already, head on over to the Rebel Scum forums. We are under Miscellaneous, the weekly Forcecast. You can join in with our great community over there. A lot of really good people. They have a lot of fun over there. You can also leave us a message on our voicemail, 330-871-4TFN. And I would also like to extend a thank you to Satka and Jorbex for this week's secret words. You can only find out what's going on with that over at the forums over at rebelscum.com.
Oh, I just got to leave it at that.
Just got to leave it at that. It's just the secret word. If you want to know what's going on, check it out.
We will be back next week. We might have another vacation week coming up for Christmas, but more on that later. For now, we'll definitely be back next week. Want to thank Jimmy Mack, Dustin Roberts, Dan Curto.
Where's that microcast?
who are we missing?
Jovial J.
Dustin Roberts, Jovial J. Shepherd, the whole family at TFN and RebelScum.com. And above all, you guys give us the fuel that we need to do this show every week. Love you guys. For the Forcecast, I'm Jason.
And I'm Pete.
And remember,
the Force will be with you always.
This podcast is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names and sounds of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and/or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of the Force.net LLC, unless otherwise indicated.